Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock today, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon, and we're going to look at a question that I had sent in to me. Somebody sent me a message and wanted to ask a question about something they saw online and how to respond to it. So we're going to take a look at that here this afternoon and perhaps some other things as well. But let's open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray you bless the program. Pray that you'd use us for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, just use the program for your glory. We just thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to take a look at a couple things here. But before I do that, let me remind you, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about myself, more about the church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And you can also find some of our past programs there, and also some articles and booklets and things that are available all at livewithpastoral.com. And again, I want to invite you to our Friday night Bible study tonight if you're not doing anything this evening, and we'll probably be talking about this question that I'm going to give in just a minute here, a little bit tonight as well, but it's an unstructured, informal Bible study where you can bring the questions just like we do oftentimes here on the radio. Mostly we do that on our Sunday night program, and of course invite you to listen to our Sunday night program from 11 o'clock until midnight, live program, people calling in with questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And then, of course, our regular services at our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. In addition to the Bible study tonight at 7, we have our regular services Sunday at 11 o'clock is our morning service. I'm currently preaching through the book of Titus, and we'll be looking at Titus 2:13, the blessed hope, this Sunday morning, Lord willing. And then, of course, on Sunday night at 6 o'clock, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. And so I hope you'll get a chance to come out. If you're looking for a church that preaches the Bible, we'd love to have you visit. All right, well, let's see, before I also get into everything else, I want to remind you, too, that to be in prayer for House Bill 248. They had a long hearing on Tuesday and in the Ohio House Health Committee, and I have not seen anything yet as to what's transpiring with it, but House Bill 248, of course, is the one that will eliminate the ability of companies and the government in Ohio to mandate vaccines as terms of employment. And so do pray about that. House Bill 248, you can always go online, ohiohouse.gov. That's ohiohouse.gov. And you can find out more information there. Just click on the menu there for searching the legislation, where you can see the thing to check on the bill. House Bill 248 is what you want to search for. And that'll give you a number of things right there. All right. Also want to remind you that just like last week, there is another protest in Akron, Ohio today, this evening at Summa Health. And this will be starting at 6 o'clock tonight, run from 6 o'clock to 7:30 this evening, Friday, August 27th at Summa Health in Akron. You can find your way there if you know where it is. That's good. If you don't, it's 457 East Market Street in Akron. That's 457 East Market Street in Akron, and the parking is at Adolph or Franklin Street. They ask that you don't park on the Summa property, and they're going to be at the corner of East Market and Fountain Street. Go to freeohionow.com. That's freeohionow.com, and you can click on the event, and you'll see it there. You'll see a map with indications where to park, where they will be standing with signs and other important information there, as well as other events that are coming up. There's some others coming up in various places that they're all at freeohionow.com. All right. Well, as I said, I have a question that was sent to me that I want to touch on, and I want to deal with this just for a moment here before we get into anything else. Somebody sent me something that they had online seen, and the statement says, if we Christians somehow arrive at the conclusion that giving up some personal liberties for the sake of other people's safety somehow makes us less free, then we have deeply misunderstood the cross. And I was asked how we would reply to that as a as a Christian. And no doubt we'll be talking about this in our Bible study tonight as well, maybe more depth. But I read this, and then I stopped, read a couple times, and I thought about it, prayed about it, and I was looking at it, and first thing, there's a logical fallacy in this statement here, and see if you can catch it. If we Christians somehow arrive at the conclusion that giving up some personal liberties for the sake of other people's safety somehow makes us less free. Now, liberty, when you look up the definition of liberty, it's defined as a type of freedom. In fact, freedom from arbitrary or despotic government or control, freedom from external or foreign rule, independence, freedom from control, interference, obligation, restriction, hampering conditions, etc., freedom from captivity, confinement, or physical restraint, freedom or right to frequent or use a place, and there's some other definitions, but our discussion on the definition of liberty. And if you follow that, what's the common word here? Freedom. The reason is, liberty talks about freedom. And so, if I give up freedom, am I less free or not? Now think about this. If I have, make it simple, you know, for those of us that went to public school, if I have 10 apples and I give up some apples, do I have less apples, the same number of apples, or more apples? Well, obviously I don't have more apples because I gave some up. And obviously, I don't have the same number of apples because I gave some up. So the obvious answer is, the correct answer is, I have less apples. And so when he states here, if we Christians somehow arrive at the conclusion that giving up some personal liberties, i.e. personal freedoms, for the sake of other people's safety, somehow makes us less free, well, that obviously is the case. If you give up freedoms, if you give up liberties, you have less freedom, you have less liberties. Now, that's the logical fallacy there. He's trying to equate that giving up liberty and freedom doesn't mean losing liberty and freedom. And so there's a logical fallacy here. So that part of it is wrong, but I understand what he's trying to get at here. And the idea that giving up freedom for other people's safety is something that is going to be problematic for us as Christians. And that's why he says there at the end with the clause, then we have deeply misunderstood the cross. Now, part of his problem there is he is talking about being forced to give up freedoms by government mandate. You must wear a face mask. You must wear or get a vaccine. You must social distance. You must this. You must that. That's coming from the government as opposed to personal choice in the matter. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, I was looking at this, and Paul is talking about dealing with people who are weak in the faith, and looking at it with the Christian liberties that we have. We have liberty in Christ, and liberty is freedom that we have in Christ. And so he's discussing meat eaten to idols, and people could eat meat sacrificed to idols, in terms of that, some people would buy this meat that had been sacrificed and then sold in the market, and you don't know necessarily where it came from. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And he's talking about the liberty here in regards to that. And he said in verse 8, but men, and this is 1 Corinthians 8, verse 8, but men commandeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Then he says this in verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours, meaning this freedom of yours, become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish from whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. He kind of sums up there in verse 13. And he says, I will willingly choose to limit my liberty, my freedom, with concern for my fellow Christian. And that's a big difference, willingly choosing to sacrifice for Christ, willingly choosing to sacrifice for his fellow believer in order to help them in their walk with Christ. And this is something he chose to do. This is not something he's mandated to do. This is not something he's commanded to do. This is not something he's ordered to do. And certainly the government has no part in this. And I'm sure that the post, if we Christians somehow arrive at the conclusion that giving up personal liberty, some personal liberties for the sake of other people's safety, somehow makes us less free, then we have deeply misunderstood the cross, was written in regards to people protesting mask mandates and vaccine mandates, which come from the government. Now, if somebody chooses to wear a mask, that's one thing, versus being forced to. If somebody chooses to get the vaccine, that's one thing, as opposed to being forced to. And so he's conflating some things that aren't exactly the same here, and committing a logical fallacy there in the statement, thinking that he's making a great spiritual point. But Paul said, I will willingly give up my liberty by my choice in order to help my brothers walk with Christ. And he also would do that in order to help people come to Christ. In chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, he said in verse 19, he said, for I, though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Now, he's saying he's chosen to do this. The church did not force him to do this. The government did not force him to do this. He chose to. And then he gives an example here in verse 24. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And so he's talking about being temperate in all things, doing it because they choose to give up some personal liberty, some personal freedoms, in order for the greater goal that they have, winning the race. He continues the next two verses, finishing up the chapter. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He's not talking about losing his salvation. He's talking about losing reward. He's talking about losing his authority to preach the gospel. He's talking about losing his witness and his testimony. And so he willingly imposed limitations to his own personal freedoms and liberties for the greater goal of reaching people with the gospel and encouraging believers in their walk with him, with the Lord. And so when this person who in the post is a repost of somebody who's supposed to be, he advertises himself as a reverend. Well, he needs to read the Bible a little more closely, and he needs to think a little more closely, because giving up personal liberties, yes, that does make us less free. There are things that I can do. I have freedom in Christ, and I can do certain things, but I don't want to do anything that I have freedom to do, lest I come into bondage to that. So, again, obviously, if I give up liberty, I'm giving up freedom, and I become less free, but it's by choice, considering the greater gain, just like the person running the race would give up certain things by choice in order to win the race. And so we often, as Christians, give up things by choice. Now, we can talk about whether or not wearing a mask or taking a vaccine furthers the cause of Christ. That's another subject, another debate, which we may touch on a little bit in our Bible study tonight. But again, understanding that giving up liberties does make us less free does not mean we've misunderstood the cross. Instead, it means that we recognize we're limiting ourselves, limiting our own freedoms for the greater glory of God. Well, hopefully that answered a little bit of our question for our question that was sent to me. And again, you can always send something to us. Just go to livewithpastoral.com and you can find out some information there on contact, or go to our social media. This was actually sent to me on Facebook, and you can find us there. Livewithpastoral.com's got a list of our social media sites. All right, well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, and we've got Terry who's called in, and I believe he's got a question or comment as well. Terry, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. I almost said good evening.
Right, you're used to calling on Sunday night, so.
Yeah. I've got a question. What's your... Mm-hmm. intake of reality of duality?
The reality of duality, and define duality for us.
Like flipping two coins, like a, you know.
Okay. Well, obviously, we in that case, if that's what we're talking about, an either or, you know, this or that type thing, obviously we do have that, but I guess I'm not really sure about what you're meaning by the reality of that.
Well, okay. I don't know. I just should, there's something else that I was going to look up, but that's what came to me.
Yeah, it's an interesting sound to the thing, and we do have a certain duality to thing. You know, the light's on or off. That's a duality, I guess. You know, the coffee's hot or cold. The things like that. Unless we're talking about duality of two things being the same thing simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things where people try to claim, and a picture that comes to mind, maybe you've seen it, maybe somebody listening has seen it, where we have a two people looking at a number that's laying on the ground, and it's one person says it's clearly the number 6 because he's looking at it from that side, and the other person who's standing across from him is looking at the same figure, and he says, no, clearly it's the number 9. And so it's both numbers depending on your perspective. You know, one's looking from the top down and the other's looking from the bottom up. And so it's either 6 or 9. And so in that sense, there's a duality there that both are true. That verges a little bit into when you get into Einstein and relativity, you know, in terms of if you're riding in an airplane and you throw a wad of paper at somebody sitting a couple seats ahead of you, how fast did you throw the paper? You know, and you might have thrown the paper, it might have moved at say, 10 miles an hour, just for the sake of argument. But to somebody on the ground that looks at an airplane going by at 500 miles an hour, it looks like it went 510 miles an hour. And in both cases would be right, I guess, depending on your perspective. But there are some things in the scripture that we cannot have a duality in that sense. It's an either or, where it cannot possibly be both. Give an example here. In a recent poll I was reading where it's talking about a significant number, I want to say 60% of professing born-again evangelicals, and I think this is like millennials, say that that Buddha is a way to heaven, Muhammad and Allah, that's another valid way to heaven. In other words, they reject the exclusiveness of the gospel message. And they say that there's many ways to heaven. We can't be exclusive on this. And that's a problem, because in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we can't have a duality here unless Jesus is lying or ignorant of the truth. Because if Buddha, for instance, was a way to heaven or to paradise, or if Muhammad and Allah provided a way without Christ, then Jesus would clearly be wrong here, and he's not making this something that's dependent on perspective. He's not saying, well, if you're a Christian, then I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Or if you're looking at me through Western lens, eyeglasses, he's not qualifying it that way. He is saying a blanket statement, meaning that this is all inclusive, that he is the only way. This includes all peoples of all times. This is all around the world. You say, well, all times, what about people before Christ? Well, they were looking forward to the way that would come, the Messiah that would come, all the way from that first sacrifice that was made when God killed an animal and took its skins and used them to clothe Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden. This was a pointing to the coming Messiah, who Jesus Christ is, who would be the way, the truth, and the life. And no man would be able to come unto the Father but by him. And so all of the sacrifices through the Old Testament pointed to Christ, who was the coming sacrifice, the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice made for our sins. And so now Jesus can say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's no duality in this. It's not possible for Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life, while simultaneously somebody that's not Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you say, well, that wouldn't be, how's that exclusive? Well, it's exclusive because he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so besides, he doesn't say, I am a way or one way. He says, I am the way. It's a definite article there. And so he is saying he is it. And no man come unto the Father but by me. And elsewhere the scriptures said, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, yeah, there's no duality in the matter of whether or not Christ is the only way. There's no duality in the matter of how to get to heaven. There's not multiple ways that are both right from their own perspective. This perspective here is a perspective of all humanity. So, I don't know.
Well, the problem in the church today is there's too much compromising.
Right. And a lot of people don't believe that this statement that Jesus made, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, they don't believe it. Oh, they believe it part way. They believe that it's okay if you think he's the way, the truth, and the life. And it's okay if I believe that he's the way, the truth, and the life. But how can you say that a billion Muslims aren't going to heaven? How can you say that the Jewish people who follow the Old Testament commandments aren't going to heaven? How can you say that the Hindus that are striving for, to eliminate all their bad karma and everything aren't going to heaven? How can you say that? That's a bold statement. You're kind of saying that everybody else is wrong but you. Well, as Jesus said, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If Jesus said that, he meant it. And if he's God in the flesh, which he is, then it's a true statement. It is not a false statement. It's not a conditional statement. It is an emphatic, this is the only way, the only truth, the only life, the only way to the Father. It's through Jesus Christ. So a lot of churches need to get back to that message, don't they, Terry?
Yes, they do.
Well, and that's the problem that we have. That's why so many evangelicals and professing Christians don't believe this, because their pastors don't believe it and their pastor doesn't teach it. We need to get back to the Word of God. We have a famine in the land, as Amos said, of the Word of God. Well, thanks for listening today. We're out of time, and Pastor Lutz will fill in for me next week. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word.